Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Are You Fit, a show all about promoting health and instilling togetherness. I hope you had a great summer. I too had a nice break, getting a chance to rest, reflect, and spend some time with the family. But now it's back to work. And ironically, I know today's Labor Day. Happy holiday to everybody out there. I hope you're getting rest. But, you know, me and my guests that we're coming on today, I think we just love what we do so much that we forgot it was work day. So anyways, I'm excited to share with you what we're about to talk about. But basically, you know, this show is bringing animals and wellness together, and it's also another way of supporting our active military personnel and veterans. So tonight's show is called Operation Horses and Heroes. Joining me is guest speaker Gerald C. Paulson. Jerry. He's the founder, executive director, president of Operation Horses and Heroes. It's a not-for-profit corporation that provides an intensive multi-day horse therapy program whose mission is to provide a dynamic program as a powerful alternative for military personnel, veterans, and their families going through their self journey of self-discovery, utilizing the power of the horse. So welcome, Jerry. Glad to have you.
Thank you for having me, Michaela. Glad to be here.
I know. Thank you. I wanted to start off by asking if you wouldn't mind sharing with our listeners a little bit more about yourself.
I've been an entrepreneur ever since I can remember now, but I originally came out of high school, went into the military, did my time in the military, both on the active side, the reserve side, the guard side, stayed with it, and now have a part-time position with the Army in the Chicago Recruiting Battalion. So from the time I started bringing it up to now, I've been involved in some way with the military and the Army specifically for just over 40 years. And on the business side of things, I opened my first business in 1994, expanded, grew like businesses do, and now we have offices in China, South America, specifically Sao Paulo, Brazil. Our global headquarters is in the Chicago suburbs. And just doing a lot of those types of entrepreneurial things with my businesses. Then branched out in giving back as a veteran, Operation Horses and Heroes, a couple of years ago.
That is so amazing. Well, I just want to first off start by saying thank you so much for your service that you have given in the past and still continue to give, and just all the amazing things that you've been able to do thus far. So you said that you decided
thank
to go
you.
Ahead and create Operation Horses and Heroes. What made you decide to do that, and how did you get this vision off the ground?
I had been doing a lot of other things in the veteran business community for many, many years. And I had the occasion and the opportunity to work with a fellow veteran at an equine event about 4 years ago. As we were doing that event, some different conversations evolved, and we started talking about the horses and their natural ability to be helping individuals with different handicaps can heal and help heal. So then I did a lot of research and found out that there were not a lot of programs out there doing specifically what I wanted mine to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that gave birth to the idea. Now, keep in mind, there's thousands of fabulous programs out there where the horses are utilized in horse therapy. Looking at a lot of those, we looked at over 200 of them, looked at what made them right, what made them work, and then took it another step further to make ours completely unique and different, so we could offer more than what some of the ones out there currently offer.
Nice. Well, I know that I, you know, briefly said the slogan of the mission, but could you explain that a little bit more in detail?
Sure. The mission of what we're trying to do is give all of our veterans, regardless of when they served, all of our active duty, and their families the opportunity to use the power of the horse as they deal with their struggles and situations with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, TBI, traumatic brain injuries, prosthetics, as well as their social and emotional challenges. And for the active duties, especially those coming back, to transition back from the military world to the civilian world.
Okay. So why would you say that you decided to choose horses as the animal that you wanted to work in doing what you're doing as a way to heal? And then why do you describe it as the power of the horse and how it helps people on their journey of self-discovery?
Using horses, especially for those in the equine world, horses are such an
Okay.
amazing animal as they are just themselves. But when you put them in the environment and they're working with our veterans and our active duty personnel, they're able to pick up and sense some of the different things. And having that opportunity then and the power that they bring, just the mere fact of what a powerful animal it is, that power transfers over to the many activities that we utilize, and it actually can start to help those that are struggling not only face their fears and face the things that they're dealing with, but it can help them overcome them in a very positive, nurturing, healing manner.
That's very nice. Well, the other thing I wanted to ask is when people actually go to the program, what do they experience during their time there? Or like, what is a typical day like in the program?
Well, first of all, our program is a little bit unique and different in that it's 4 days. Most of the programs that we have discovered and found are 1 or 2 days. We've not yet found a 4 consecutive day program out there. There are some programs that go like for 16 weeks, but it's 1 day a week. Ours is 4 consecutive days, which makes it really unique compared to many of the others that are out there. Typical day starts with breakfast, 7 o'clock, which is served by all our volunteers. After breakfast, they will then go over to the horse that they have been assigned to or that they have picked, and they will groom that horse, clean its stall, feed it, water it, and take care of that first 45, 50 minutes of time it's spent with that horse. After that, they spend the rest of the morning up until lunch going through their EAP sessions. EAP stands for Equestrian Assisted Psychotherapy. These are all the resiliency sessions that they do as a group,
Okay.
utilizing many horses. Sometimes we'll have two or three in the arena, sometimes we'll have one, sometimes we'll have five. It all depends on the activities that they're doing. After
So,
lunch,
like, I'll go ahead, continue.
which is again served by all of our volunteers, they go through more exercises up until about 3:30, 4 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, they will go back, clean the horse's stall, feed them and water them for the afternoon, and then we have an activity, chores, if you will, that they will do at the host facility as a way of giving back and paying it forward. Then we'll do dinner. Then we'll do a group evening activity with the families involved as well. And then they'll go home about 8 o'clock and we'll do it all over again the next day.
Nice. Okay, so is it they do they stay on like do they find their own like lodging or is it like all like encompassed right wherever it's being hosted at?
If they're commuters and they live close enough to the facility, obviously they'll just go home for the evening. If they're coming from a long distance,
Right.
then they'll stay in a local hotel.
This is kind of a side question, but not exactly. I was going to ask you, how are the horses chosen for the programs? Are they did you use any horse, or did you like pick specific ones that
Depending on the facility, if it's a private facility or a public boarding facility that we're working with, we will go in a day or two in advance, myself and my team, and we'll work with the host facility and our therapists, who are both equine certified specialists, and we will decide based on the horse's behaviors and observing them which horses we'll use for each activity so we get the maximum effect we're looking to get from each of the activities.
Nice. Another thing I was thinking about, because I remember looking over your website, this is not just in one location. You actually have, you'll host this in several different locations around the nation. Is that correct?
Yes, we are partnering with facilities currently in Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, Georgia, and we're branching out. Next year, hopefully, we'll be in California, Washington State, Texas, Florida, and Pennsylvania as well. And the reason we decided to do
Awesome.
this as opposed to just doing one facility, it's way too hard for veterans to be able to come to one facility with travel time, getting off work, that type of thing. So we decided that we're going to put this whole program, package it in such a way so we can take it to any facility around the country, bring it to the veterans so they don't have to travel, which releases a lot of the stress and burden on them, both mentally and financially.
I love that. You know, always looking out, you know. Thank you. And there is another question. Okay, I'm jumping all over, Jerry.
That's okay.
Because all these new things are coming up, and like as I'm going through, I'm like, okay. But getting back, I wanted to say you did just explain a little bit about how your program differs from other horse-assisted therapy programs. But I also wanted to ask, what are some of the key benefits from your program?
There's so many different benefits that they get. Besides the chance to work with whatever it is that they're dealing with, and this is going to give them a chance to see other veterans and be exposed to other veterans who also may be suffering or affected by some of the same things they are, and it's like, gee, I'm not alone. That's a real light bulb for them, so they realize they're not out there on that island by themselves. So that brings up a lot of dialogue, and that brings up a lot of discussion. We've actually had some veterans come through and said, I didn't know people cared. So when they see 30, 40, 50 volunteers showing up to do everything just for them, it's so powerful and impactful for them, because so many times they've been forgotten, or this is what they feel like. They feel like they're forgotten. They feel like they're not wanted anymore. They feel like, hey, I served, but now nobody remembers what I did. So there's a lot of benefits for them psychologically and mentally when they go through the program as well. And then there's that typical military camaraderie and the bonding and those types of things. And then once they've been through the program, the next program that we offer, we call back many of those who have already been through it, and we'll invite them back to be a part of our team. So it's their way of paying it forward and giving back. And just like in the military, now we got battle buddies. So those individuals
right
who've been through the program will then be paired up with the new guys and gals, and they'll be able to walk them through it, and they'll be able to share what they went through in the past to help alleviate a lot of the fears, anxieties, and some of the emotional things with the new people coming in. And that really brings a lot of dialogue, and it gives those that have been through the program a chance to shine all by themselves.
That's nice.
And it takes a lot of,
well, you know what,
a lot of work off of us too.
Right? It's a win-win for everybody. The other
Absolutely.
Thing that I loved about your program is that you actually have follow-up support even after the program. So even when they finish it, there's more support. And what does that involve?
Absolutely. We give them a list of resources from each of their geographical areas so they can continue. And let's say it's in Ohio, which is where we're going to be this next week. If some of those folks want to then get involved in that local facility, they'll have that opportunity. They'll also be able to then to network with themselves so they can get together on their own, or they'll have other resources through the VA that will point them in the right direction. Maybe they didn't know about some of the things that were being offered, so we'll share with them some of those other things, as well as some of the other types of therapy that they can continue on, whether it's doing equine therapy. Or maybe one or two of them may want to say, you know what, I really like working with animals. Maybe they need a service dog and have never known how to go about it. So we'll give them some resources so they may be able to work with another agency to help get them a service dog.
Nice. You know, here's another question for you that is coming to mind. In all this time that you've been doing Operation Horses and Heroes, is there any favorite memories that stand out having done this at any particular events at all that like really just touched your heart and made you even more proud and happy that you're doing this?
Well, yes. These programs don't come cheap. It's about $4,000 per veteran, and for all the veterans and their families, it's free. So Horses and Heroes, we are constantly doing fundraisers. We're constantly looking for donors and sponsors. Because for that veteran and their family, it's 100% free to participate in the program. But in our very first program, I had a mom call me from South Dakota. And we were doing this program in Illinois. And she called me, she says, Mr. Paulson, I need to tell you my son's story. So she goes on to tell me that her son was in Afghanistan. He was in the un-too-often scenario of on a convoy. Their convoy got struck by an IED. And her son lost his best friend, who died in his arms. goes on to tell me that he then came home, was very affected by it, obviously. Fast forward 1 year, he had been having a lot of memories and bad memories and experiencing some of the things that he had been through. Went out one night, had a little bit too much to drink, and had some drugs. Goes back on the post where he was stationed and was randomly selected for a drug test. He tested positive, so he was thrown out of the military with a bad conduct discharge. So she tells me this story. She says, well, I'm sure then you won't take him. And I told the lady on the phone, I says, ma'am, it's not a problem. Your son served. That's all we care about. He's in the program. She broke down and cried. Got a hold of her son, who lived in the state of Oregon. They paid for him to fly to Chicago. We picked him up, got him a hotel, took care of all of that. And when he came to the program, on the first day, he admitted that he had tried to commit suicide twice because he was so despondent. He had been unemployed and living on the streets in Oregon, but had never told his parents. And all he wanted to do was get away from his parents and commit suicide again. So we worked a little bit extra with him, and he really loved being around the horses. On the third day, he came up to us, and he just started crying. He says, this program has been so amazing, and for what's happened, Mr. Paulson, all I want to do is live again. Can you help me? Within 48 hours, we found him a job and a place to live back in Oregon. And now for almost 2 years now, he's still working, he's drug-free, and it's all because of coming to the program. And as I like to say, we're not the stars. The horses are the stars of the program.
Oh, man, I got just goosebumps. I'm about to cry. That is so awesome that, like, not only you even took it more forward, Jerry, like, you know, okay, it was, you know, you're offering the horse program, and that's all lovely. But just the fact that, like, you know, you took it upon yourself to even go further and to know that you cared that much, that's so awesome. Okay,
yeah,
let me not pour over here.
So some of the volunteers then even took it upon themselves. I didn't share a lot of the story. But he didn't have many clothes with him because he'd been homeless living on the streets. So some of the volunteers took it upon themselves to go out and get him some clothes, too, before he went back to Oregon.
You know, it's like stuff like this that makes me, you know, as a lot of hard times are going on right now here in America, everywhere. But it's like, you know, being able to be on the show with you tonight and hear about the good things that you've doing and have been doing, it keeps the hope, you know, it keeps that light alive. And so I'm just so grateful that there's people like you, organizations like what you guys are doing, and all the volunteers willing to come together to do this. And it's so amazing, too, that you offer this for free to them. And so that's great. So I wanted to ask, how can people support this great cause to help continue on the mission?
Well, there's a number of ways people can support what we're doing. Obviously, it's by volunteering for the programs in their area. And that's easy. They can just check the website, www.operationhorsesandheroes.org. Our programs are posted there, so if you see one in your area, all you got to do is contact us. We can give you more of the details, and if you're able to fit it into your schedule to come out and volunteer and help, that's awesome. We're always looking for the volunteers. If you'd like to sponsor a veteran through your business, that's great. If you want to sponsor anything to do with the program, that's wonderful because we do it entirely 100% on donations, sponsors, and volunteers. The board of directors are not paid, and it's right in our bylaws that no board of director is paid. So the entire board does it strictly on a volunteer basis, and they pay all their own expenses. So 100% of the monies that are raised program and to the veterans, not to any paid board member, because no board member is paid.
Everybody's just doing it to help out.
Yeah, and all but one of my board members right now are all veterans. I've got my vice president, who's been with me since the beginning. She's my right arm, my right leg, my right hoof, whatever you want to call it. But she's been with me ever since the beginning. And her name is Susan Parker. Yeah, she's an Air Force veteran, former NCO in the Air Force. And our program coming up next week is going to be done actually 1 mile from where she lives at a horse facility, equine stable there called Hamden Hills Stables in Chardon, Ohio, which is outside Cleveland. That's where we'll be this week. My secretary so is a veteran as well. He is a Naval Academy graduate, 24 years, was a Navy pilot. And he was also a member of the 1996 United States Equestrian Team in Atlanta. My treasurer has been involved with horses for over 30 years. And the other members of the board have all served in the military as well.
You got a great team. I want to say personally right now to all of you guys, thank you so much for helping Jerry put this all together for everybody. It's awesome.
It goes back to the old military. You know, it all goes back, Michaela, to the old word. You know, there's no I in team. It's all about a team. And this is not Jerry's program. It is a program that I happen to be surrounded by a wonderful bunch of great people, all of us who have served, and it's our way of paying it forward and giving back.
Very true, and I like that reminder. There is no I in team. That is exactly. Okay, here's another question. What are the you just mentioned something that's just coming up around the corner, but do you have any of the upcoming program dates for the this year?
This will be our last program for this year at this time. And I say that because we're still negotiating with a couple of other locations to see if we can do one later this year. We're trying not to do them, obviously, in November and December just because of the holidays. So then we'll be looking at doing one probably on the West Coast after the first of the year. And then we'll, during our annual board meeting, we'll roll out the schedule for 2017. But this is currently the last scheduled program coming up next week in Chardon in 2016. Unless we're able to schedule one more, again, it would be on the West Coast. The reason is we're certainly not going to do a program in the winter in Illinois because we're outside, you know, and with the weather and the elements, it's hard to predict unless we find a local facility or a facility in the Midwest that has a heated arena. Obviously, with some of these individuals, some of them have disabilities and situations they're dealing with. We can't expose them to the cold and the elements because they're out there all day. So that's why if we do one anywhere else during the winter months, in the Midwest especially, or up in the Northeast, we would certainly need to have a place with a heated indoor arena that we would be able to do the program. The other thing that's really crucial about our program is our lead therapist. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman. She is 14 years in the Air Force. She was a flight nurse in Afghanistan. She has her doctorate in mental health, and she's also equestrian certified. And she is our lead therapist. And then our clinician who works side by side with her is also a military veteran. She has 30 years, retired Army, and she is also certified in equestrian therapy. So our two lead clinicians bring over almost 50 years of service together, and they're both certified equestrian therapists.
Nice. So, you know, combining their skills, like all of that mixture, helping everybody. I love that.
Yes, and
the other
we also
thing
have
I wanted
a Facebook page
too.
That people can follow us on Facebook. We've got our horses, Operation Horses and Heroes on Facebook, and we have a lot of information. And people can go there, too, and not only follow us on Facebook, but they can also see all the different things we're doing, and they can look at the albums from some of the other programs.
Exactly. Well, you know what? The good news is I got everything listed here on the show description, so if listeners want to find you, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter, it's all here on the show description. So you're good
there.
Oh,
that's great. Thank you.
You're welcome, welcome. Okay, another thought I was thinking, okay, so like the donations that they make, whether they're it's businesses or actual just people of the general public, they can always take do you guys give like a receipt so they can take it, you know, for tax time as for tax donations?
Yes, we are a 501c3 pending, so our application is in. We just haven't heard back yet from the IRS. And they will get that letter saying that we are a 501c3 pending, and once it's been approved, of course, then it will become a tax donation. So there's lots of different ways. And like I told a friend of mine who's the CEO of another company, I said, you know, you spend $5,000 a year on your membership at the country club, and you don't even play golf, but you like to have your membership. Take $4,000 instead and donate it to Horses and Heroes so that we can get another veteran in the program.
Right. Did he take your advice, or he said now he just stick at the country club stuff?
He did both.
There you go. Right? Okay, yep. Jerry, you know what? I think I got majority of my questions that I had wanted to ask tonight. I wanted to see if there's anything else that you wanted to share with our listeners.
just to remember our veterans and those that are still serving and the families. Because the families, when we're deployed, they're at home, they miss their loved ones who are serving, they can still have different issues too. And that's why our program is so different from the others, because we do include the families. We do get them involved in some of the different activities that we're doing. So it's not just about the veteran. It's just not about the active duty. It's also about the family. It's a family unit. That's why we make sure that our program is for the families, which also includes the National Guard, our reservists in the Navy Reserve, Air Force Reserves, Air National Guard. They're all included. And it doesn't matter what era they served. We've had them from Vietnam. We've had them from Grenada. We've had them, obviously, from OIF, OEF, and OND, the current ones. As well as we've also had one soldier come through who is a former member of the Army, British soldier. He actually came through the program. So we don't limit it just to our American soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, or Coast Guardsmen. We had a gentleman from the British Army come through.
Shut up. So this is across the board, no matter what part of the globe you're coming from.
Across the board, across the pond, and across the borders.
That's what I'm talking about. A new way to, you know, bring everybody together. Goodness. I had another question, Jerry, but
Michaela,
I think you ran out.
We're also looking forward to, I had a discussion with the Adjutant General of Guam when I was in Guam on a recent trip, and he and I have had a discussion, and we're trying to also get it so we can also incorporate all of our soldiers, especially our National Guardsmen, who in Guam we had 800 soldiers be deployed to Afghanistan, so we're trying to get some of those soldiers who had served into one of our programs from Guam as well.
That will be lovely. I kind of want to, well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and hint anyways. Audience, just so you know, just heads up on another show of mine, Real Talk with Michaela. Jerry is going to be joining me on September. Hey, Jerry, you there?
I'm back. I'm here.
Okay. I must have disconnected, but I was trying to explain to you all, like, Jerry's going to be on with me actually on 9/21, Real Talk with Michaela, save the date on that one. And since he just brought up Guam, I'm going to let you guys know we will be talking about Guam business discovery at that time. So I'll leave you with that little piece there. Jerry, I wanted to say, this is what I was going to ask you. In all this time that Operation Horses and Heroes has been up and running, do you have a guesstimate idea of how many people have come through the program thus far?
Well, we do about 10 per program is our max that we take, and we've been doing these 3 or 4 times a year. So I'm going to say we've had probably about 50 or 60 because of the not every program has been full. Just because of different things.
Right.
So probably 50 so far. And we've only been in existence just a couple of years, so we're still growing. And we only do these right now once a quarter because all the board members are volunteers. They all have other businesses and everything else going on too. So we've been trying to do these very strategically so that we can give those who would like to participate the best advantages and the best experience we possibly can.
Awesome. Well, bit by bit and every bit counts. Jerry, I just wanted to say thank you again to you and your team for what you guys are doing for others, especially for our military, active duty, and veterans. It's, you know, we need more and more out there. You know, of course, a lot of times with, you know, people think that we're not doing enough for them. And so to hear something like this, to run across this actually, when I first found you, it was like, what? No way. And so it just makes my heart know that there is actually people out there that give a damn. And so thank you so much. And I just want to again say thank you for the time you gave us. And just, you know, you go enjoy your Labor Day. I know you're a workaholic like me sometimes, but I do hope, you know, I don't know. I hope this is the last of your checklist and that, because I know I'm going to get me barbecue. I don't know what you're going to do, but
I'm
going to get some barbecue.
I'm headed for a barbecue
right
now.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Michaela.
Okay, you enjoy yourself. Take care. You're very welcome.
Right.
Okay, everybody, have a great rest of your week. Big, big hugs. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.